Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the advice podcast where two best friends get together to ask a series of questions while not really being concerned with answering any of them. I am Daniel O'Brien, one half of that podcast, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, hello.
I think so hard about my answers for this podcast.
Really?
I really want to get it. Yeah, I want to give you a fair shake on the questions you ask me.
Okay. When do you think you were most helpful?
Well, I mean...
What specifically about my life has improved since doing this podcast with you?
Okay. If you ever encounter a man in a trucker hat threatening to kill himself because he lost his job the same day as he told his family he was gay, I think you could handle that situation. Actually, probably about the same. I think I told you did exactly right.
Perfect. That is fantastic. But anyway, that's Soren. And the other person you might hear on this podcast from time to time is our business daddy and producer and the guy who first had the idea that we should do this podcast, Bacon. What's up?
Hey, Dan. How are you? I missed you guys. Glad to talk to everybody.
I miss you too. You know, was crazy about this because we banked a bunch of these before the holidays because there was a lot of holiday nonsense, obviously, and some travel. And so we just had to get like four recorded quickly. And I thought it would be nice to have a break from having to set up equipment and take time out of my life to do this podcast. But I missed our regular check-ins. It was the time that we all talked together, and I'd grown accustomed to it.
Yeah, I know it's kind of I think a lot of people think things are bits that aren't bits or things that aren't bits are bits. But that's actually not a bit that I think we all really enjoy hanging out with each other while we're recording this stuff.
Yeah. But let's get into the show. As always, we are Quick Question. And as even more always, you, our listeners, whom we love, have a name that you prefer to be called. And that name is, of course, Stevie Quicks. Did I do that one already?
It does feel like it's really, it just feels so obvious. I'm surprised that we didn't. It's funny. Like, it's funny, Dan.
Hey, thanks. I wanted to make it longer and add more to it, but I didn't. Does that show?
No, I guess not. The minute you said Stevie Nicks, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And then when you said, have I done that one? I was like, oh, yeah, of course. You've done that one before. We must have. Well, Dan, I do have to actually, given that we did do... our holidays instead of podcasts recently, and we haven't talked at all in a long time. I want to ask you, basically our check-in, I want to ask you a quick question to lead into our check-in here.
Okay.
You went to Thailand.
I did, yeah.
And I want to know all about it. And I have very specific questions about it, but first I just want like a general overview of your experience.
I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. I went because a coworker of mine, told me to go there. And like, I knew that I had this chunk of time in between seasons that I wanted to go somewhere and do something. And I was bombarding my friends every day with a different thing where it was like, I might go to Banff or Mexico City. I heard Mexico City is nice. Or maybe I'll go to Maine and just do a fishing trip. Or maybe I'll spend all of it in Hawaii. And then I had a coworker, her name is Kay, and she's a producer. She's very good and organized with things like this. So she said, you should do this. Here's the itinerary I did when I went to Thailand. And I was like, sold! All of my decisions made already, because she had a bunch of excursions that she did and recommended. And so I did basically the trip that she did. And
Tell me it was a honeymoon or something like that.
No. It was fine for one lonely man to do. She did it with... I don't know if I tell her secret. She did it with her sister. Like she didn't agree to be on this podcast, so I have no business telling this. But it works as well for a group of friends as it does for one person going out there. And that's what I did. I visited a lot of temples. I took a cooking class, which I never would have done. But anyone who has ever been to Chiang Mai, which is the part of Thailand that I went to, it's northern Thailand, they've all said take a cooking class while you were there. And now I also strongly recommend it. It's a very fun thing to do if you're traveling, I assume, anywhere. If they offer a class that is going to teach you like local cuisine, you should take it. So I did that. I saw a bunch of elephants And that was...
Yeah, so did you go to an elephant sanctuary while you were there?
I did, yeah. And it was one of the good ones, one of the best in the world. Because if you go to any elephant sanctuary...
The kind that gave you the little spikes on your feet when you get to ride them?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Any elephant sanctuary that says that allows you to ride them is bad. You shouldn't go to one of those. You shouldn't support them. And this one was really great. And we got to feed the elephants and just sort of get very close without, like, obviously riding or like tugging on them or touching them to like a very safe distance and just observing them and learning all of their stories and everything that they've been through. And it's far from a zoo, you know. It's not just like, look at the polar bears. It's very much like, this is an elephant. It's part of its foot was blown off in a landmine, and now we keep it safe here. And had like a lot of these elephants were orphaned and
you didn't even get to see a whole elephant. do you feed sugarcane? That was my favorite part. I was in Bali and we saw some elephants at a sanctuary, and like there's just this bucket of sugarcane you're allowed to give the elephants, and they love it. They come up and
we fed them like bananas and fruits and shit. And it's very funny because there are some like leafy vegetables that they'll eat sometimes, and you could feed them bananas and they take the banana with their trunk and put it in their mouth and they're happy. And then I was like, here's this leafy stuff. You want this? And they grabbed it with their trunk and then threw it on the ground. I'm like, nah, I know what this is. Fuck you. Here, where are the bananas?
That's great.
Yeah. And that was very fun. And like, it's nice to see, I don't know. I like seeing big animals to remind myself of how small I am. And I did a really nice long hike on Monk Trail to a couple of different temples. I saw local live music, which I always try to do. I went to a bunch of markets because there are a bunch of great markets in Chiang Mai. I went fishing.
Oh, cool.
Because, of course, I'm going to go fishing. And went to this lake where we fished with bread and cake was our bait. Just like balled up.
What?
Yeah, they do it in a couple of parts of Florida, too. It's like a really cheap form of bait that some fish just go nuts for. And we caught some giant fucking 94-pound catfish when I was there.
Oh, wow. Are catfish... Okay, those little tentacles that they have in the front of their face, are those things poisonous?
I don't think so. I hope not. I fucking kissed so many of those fish right on the mouth.
And you feel fine? I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a question I always like to ask people when they go on vacation to foreign countries, because I think about it constantly. Were there any circumstances in which you really fucked up, like in a temple, or were you really embarrassed yourself?
No, because I did so much reading in advance about that specific thing, because I really didn't want to be disrespectful in any way. So I did so much preparation on that. And like, you know me, I'm the sweatiest person on the fucking planet, and it's 90 degrees in Thailand. And everything says, if you're going to visit the temples, you shouldn't wear sleeveless shirts because it's disrespectful, and you should wear shorts that go down past your knees. So I just did that. I was wearing like button down shirts and longer shorts when I went to all these temples, just sweating like a monster because I didn't want to offend anyone. And like, no one's going to yell at you, because I saw plenty of people in tank tops and short skirts and short shorts, and also like pointing their feet at statues of at like religious important statues, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to sit legs crossed or with your feet behind you if you're in a temple.
Oh, wow.
And people were just not respecting that basic thing. And getting away with it scot-free. So I don't know. I guess you can do that, but I didn't want to. I was so nervous about being an ignorant, offensive presence that I would try to overcorrect. I'm still certain I was, because the language...
But you never got called out for it at all.
No. But the language is so difficult. I could say hello and I'm sorry. Or no, I say hello and thank you. But everything else, like I was reading about it and I had a translator on my phone. But it's one of those things where you know, I can mess around in Spanish, Italian, and French. And I thought I could just do this too. Like I could learn a few key phrases, and I just can't. It's like it's hitting my ears in a way that I can't make my mouth do. Even looking at it written down phonetically and hearing it over and over again, I'm just like, I feel like I'm missing a part of my mouth, the part that says these words.
We're pretty wishy-washy with our vowels in our language. Like you can get away with substituting vowels out as long as the consonants are in the right order. You get the gist of what someone is saying. But in other cultures, it's like those vowels are so crucial to meaning completely different things that I'm just like, well, I can't those open mouth sounds, yeah. Those like the ones where you've got like, right. You're doing it kind of in your throat.
Yeah. And Thailand was also the first place I've been to, because I've been to a bunch of different countries. I'm very lucky that way. And no one ever expects me to be anywhere at any time. And but this was the first one where I really, the language barrier was really felt, because most places, everyone speaks enough English everywhere so far. And there were certainly plenty of people who spoke English better than I speak any second language in Thailand. But there were also a few people who just didn't at all. And they didn't. I think the crucial difference between like when I've traveled to France or Italy versus when I've now traveled to Thailand is they don't care if you're lost there. Like it's okay if I'm lost. I feel like when I'm in France, everyone's like, oh, this American, we'll find him. We'll make things okay for him and get him somewhere. And Thailand is like, no, this is Thailand. It's like a whole other place.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And if you're not prepared, then you're not prepared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what, honestly, like that's the best way to experience a country. I feel like places where it's just, they've given you a gentler form of the United States or a gentler form of their country, actually.
Right.
If you're from the United States like that, you don't want that as much. You're not getting an authentic experience by any means.
There was no place for me to be like, let's all settle down, forget our differences, and speak the language that I speak and take the money that I have. Because at the end of the day, isn't that what this is about? Is my comfort. And it's not. Like, there are some times where I'm just lost and didn't know where I was going and didn't know how to communicate to people. And it was scary, but also like very, you know, what you want out of a trip like this.
I have another question for you. Sorry, Dan, to occupy.
That's good. No, I love the questions, because if you leave me to my own devices, I don't know how to answer things. Because when I first got back, my brother was like, how was Thailand broadly? And I was like, at breakfast, they serve lunch foods and the toilets don't accept my toilet paper. Like, I don't know what's interesting to other people.
Okay. Well, my question is, when do they serve the lunch foods? My question is, okay, this is hard to explain. So when you got off the plane, you walked through customs, and there was a woman or a man sitting there at customs who was going to check your passport, and you walked up to them, a single guy, all by himself, middle-aged, but like in his 30s, going to a country famous for sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sense from them that they were like trying to like work around what you were doing there?
No. I think I got a whole lot more of that from people in America that I told I'm going to Thailand, like other guys, and not even like gross, horrible guys, like your standard guy, which is just a little bit gross and horrible. Your standard guy, when I've said like, yeah, I'm going just by myself. I'm going to Thailand for like 11 days. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. I went to Thailand. I went to Thailand after college. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, no. I'm going to go. I want some like level of peace and serenity. So I'm going to go to a bunch of temples. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you are. You're going to get that peace. You're going to get that serenity. I'm like, I don't like it when you say it.
You keep winking at me.
That's truly not my mission here.
Nudging me in between two ribs. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think about, I would cast so much judgment on every single person. If I was working that job, anyone who was coming in, I was like, look at this pervert.
Right.
Coming into my country alone. What on earth could they possibly want here? This guy either likes kids or likes elephants. I don't know which one. Well, that sounds exciting. I'm glad you had a good trip. Would you ever feel like your life was in danger at any point, or was it just smooth sailing the whole way through?
At no point did I think my life was in danger.
Oh, that's boring.
I was a little bit scared. It's a very long flight, and I spent one night in Bangkok at a very nice hotel. Shout out Avani Atrium Hotel. Bacon, I'd like you to know one of my first acts of 2020 was I told the people at the Avani Atrium Hotel in Bangkok that I was going to plug them on my podcast, and I didn't want any money to do it. Didn't even get any special treatment from them. I told them after the fact. I was like, I had such a good time that I'm going to share this with my followers.
That's okay.
Have a good day.
I'll keep an eye on our Thai listening.
Please
statistics.
Do. So I spent one night
there.
That's
not really the demographic who's staying there, Bacon.
But I spent one night there and it was great. And then I flew to Chiang Mai, northern Thailand, and got in late enough that it was dark. And just the ride from the airport to the inn where I was staying. Shout out Good Morning Chiang Mai, the inn that I stayed at.
You're just walking around Thailand yelling to everyone that you have a podcast and you can't wait to tell them how great they are.
But that, like a lot of, like there are very narrow streets in Chiang Mai that are incredibly walkable and can fit like one car. So it feels like an alleyway, especially if it's my first time there and it's night. I feel like I'm driving down an alleyway to get to my hotel. And that was one time where I thought like, oh, I might be in over my head here because I'm going to get dropped off in an alley somewhere in a place that doesn't feel like a city at all. It doesn't feel like you're at like Hotel Row or anything like that, where it's just hotels down the street. I'm just getting dropped off at this dark place in a country where I am very far away from understanding the language. And it was just that night where I thought, yeah, if you know, my mom was right to be concerned that I'm doing this trip by myself. But then I woke up and it was bright and everything was fine.
Yeah.
But that was, again, like I never felt life threatened. I just felt a little bit spooked. But then okay. I, you know, watched Netflix in the bungalow that I booked.
And you were right at home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are there any more?
If you're in Thailand, watch the Netflix.
Are there any more rickshaws or convenience stores you want to plug before we move on?
Well, not that I want to plug, but if there's like an iconic American chain that was all over Thailand, and I wonder if you can guess it.
Okay. I would say it would be culinary. I think it would have to be a McDonald's.
That's what I imagined too, and there were a few McDonald's, but overwhelmingly, there were 7-Elevens everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. I was very surprised by that. Because they're like on the same streets too. It's like a cartoonish amount of 7-Elevens.
And they have all the same stuff. I mean, it's just like, it's clearly still a convenience store over there. It's not like that their fashion is, all their shirts are in 7-Eleven.
No, yeah. It's a convenience and liquor store. Because I know some 7-Elevens in America don't also serve alcohol. Like in Jersey, they don't.
My son is sort of like starting to learn to read a little bit, and he knows numbers really well. And he always points out 7-Elevens to me because he read the sign 11 and was very excited about that because it always says the 7 and in written out is 11. And I realize now, because from his school to my house, we pass 4 7-Elevens in a 4 mile, like going Jesus. 4 over 4 miles. So there are a lot here too.
There are. Yeah. I don't know. I guess in my brain, I feel like I see more Starbucks than I do 7-Elevens, more McDonald's than I do 7-Elevens, but in Chiang Mai they were damn everywhere.
That sounds like a good trip, man. I'm glad you had fun.
It was a great trip. Yeah,
mom is breathing a sigh of relief that you're home.
Yeah, yeah. I'm safe. Everything's fine. It was it's a beautiful country. I highly recommend it. I wish I could spend more time there. And you know, I did the thing that I wanted out of this trip was to get out of my head and just be present and find a little bit more balance in my life, which I did. And that's why I'm coming into this new podcast as a different person. I don't know if you could tell how much more chill I am, Soren. Did you notice that I'm more chill now? Soren, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sort of waiting for you to dig yourself into a hole.
how many more units of chill would you say that I am?
Yeah, I mean...
there's a right answer.
Four.
Okay, that's close.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Soren, quick question.
Go ahead.
Because again, this is our first time talking after the holidays. And I imagine you spent some time at the holidays with your family, yes?
Both my family and Colleen's family as well.
One of my favorite things about being around family for the first time of the year is, as someone who's extremely online, teaching them about various pop culture things that they don't know about because they blissfully live a life that is not online.
So jealous.
Yeah. They're just like happy and experiencing the world as it's presented to them and not as it's viewed through the lens of 40 angry people on Twitter.
Yeah.
So is there something that has been a part of your life this last year, pop culturally, that you've had to teach to your family?
There is something I had to teach them, but I wouldn't say it was a part of my life either. And so I was not the guy to be doing it. It came up during dinner that Star Wars fans all hate. Why is it that Star Wars fans all hate Star Wars? And I was like, there was no one in the room more equipped to answer that question than I was, and I am not your first choice in that circumstance.
Right. You you quite famously hate Star Wars.
I feel no connection to the franchise.
Right.
At all. And so the question came up, and I knew that there was an answer, and I had at least like 60% of it. And so I had to answer the question and like handle it as clumsily as I have to, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I was trying to explain to them that Star Wars fans, there's like a faction of Star Wars fans that felt betrayed by the new movies. And they felt like the narrative was going in the wrong direction. But ultimately, a lot of that was just like a veil for some pretty blatant sexism. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very complicated. And the way that I was explaining it was not good. No one was understanding it any better than I was. But me trying to get across that the people who don't like Star Wars are not right for not liking Star Wars, at least some of them.
Right. That's
really complicated
that's
to do.
Yeah, I had a similar one with Star Wars with my brother David at Christmas Eve. Everyone had just seen the latest Star Wars, and my cousin Audrey and I were talking to David about things we liked, things we didn't like, and Audrey mentioned that she was hoping that the characters Finn and Poe would have kissed. And David was like, that's a thing? Where did that come from? And Audrey and I just had to like tag team this thing of like, oh yeah, if you're like a normal person who's seen the movies, sure, you wouldn't have thought about this. But if you'd watched the movies several times and then spent a bunch of time on the internet, you'd have seen and like captured every interview that Oscar Isaac had done for the last 5 years. You'd have seen that there's this small but like very vocal crowd of people who watched Force Awakens, and based on a couple of looks that Poe gave Finn, and like one scene crucially where he was like biting his lower lip while looking at Finn, and let your imagination run wild with what's going on in his mind, and then see these interviews where Oscar Isaac is like, yeah, I think there is like a playful, flirtatious chemistry, and I hope the movies, you know, tug at that thread a little bit. And then you went online and read a bunch of fan fiction for years. Then yeah, you would think you would be shipping this relationship. And my brother's just like, but Finn, like explicitly in the movie, is into Rey. His whole arc in every movie is making sure Rey's okay. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you just watch the movies, then sure. I'm just trying to explain to you why the internet is mad that these two boys didn't kiss.
Yeah, that was also the part that threw me in my conversation, was that I haven't seen the last movie. And I think that like pretty universally people didn't like it on both sides. And so I had a really hard time explaining to them that it's not just one group of people who are bad and they're against these movies and they're trying to boycott them. There's also like within these groups, there's also people who are like, no, the narrative, like it didn't do justice to this particular character, or no, the narrative was bad, or this undid all the work that the previous movie had done.
Right.
And it was like, I can't do that having not seen any of them, and also not caring.
Right. And it's tough because
it made it really difficult.
With the second in this new trilogy, the Last Jedi, the Rian Johnson directed one, it's tough because both things can be true. You can hate that movie because the writing was bad, and you can also hate that movie because you're a sexist and a racist. Those things are both true. And this latest one, The Rise of Skywalker, is trying to A, complete J.J. Abrams' story that he started in the first one, and B, address everyone's problems with the second one. And that includes addressing the problems of people who hated the writing and addressing the problems of people who were racist and sexist. And of course you're not going to get a good movie out of that. But it's difficult to like explain that to people who just saw Star Wars and was like, yeah, it was fine. It was a Star Wars movie, which is the bulk of my family, because the bulk of my family is made up of normal people.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, that's most people.
Yeah.
It's like, but those are not the loudest people in my life.
Right.
And so I'm privy to these other people. I honestly wish that my brother-in-law was there. So my wife's sister is getting married, or just got married, and he actually knows Star Wars really well, and he's very versed in it. He knows it all backwards and forwards, and he just was not there. And so like I spent a lot of time trying to describe stuff to people and being like, you know, so like So Rey is the new character, but like she doesn't know where she's from. She doesn't know her parents, and she doesn't even have, like, she's not from any sort of lineage. You know what, Marty would explain this a lot better than me. Just like telling them to wait a lot.
The only other one of these that I had, which was great, was I hosted my parents for Christmas. It was the first time I've ever hosted anyone for Christmas because I've always been flying back to the East Coast for Christmas, and now I live here. And we were talking about that Joker movie, which, spoilers, I thought was bad because of the writing. And Joaquin Phoenix was great in it. And I think it's worth watching for his performance, but I think the writing is bad. And I think Todd Phillips has shown himself to be kind of a prick in every interview. Separate from those feelings, the topic of Joker being a controversial movie came up. Like I brought it up in casual conversation with my parents and they're like, what is controversial about Joker? I was like, oh, well, thanks for asking. While there have always been frustrated and misguided young men who grew angry at the world because they felt they were being denied the women, money, and success which they believed they were entitled, they've now, thanks to the internet, found each other and formed a community bordering on movement of similarly toxic and entitled males. And they worked themselves into a state, and now they've all found a horrible little toilet of the internet to hang out in and encourage each other's impotent rage. And some of them get so worked up that they write manifestos and go on murder sprees. And we'll add to that that the last time a Joker movie was made, a guy was so motivated by Joker's energy that he went to the opening night of that movie's sequel and opened fire on a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. And all of this was made more toxically worrisome when the director spent the entire publicity tour railing against PC culture, which to the terminally online is often used as a bonding cry for people who wrongfully believe they're being oppressed for having the worst ideas and impulses. This leads to one faction of the internet to say things like, hey, we don't need movies about unstable, violent white men who go on murder sprees because they think it's unfair that women and the world weren't handed to them like they were supposed to be, because we see enough unstable, violent white men in our churches, temples, malls, mosques, schools, and movie theaters, sometimes when a Batman is playing. And another faction of the internet saying, stop trying to silence art and other points of view, and still another faction of the internet saying, it's just a movie. And my parents were like,
your family is lucky to have you, Daniel.
And my parents were just like, it is just a movie. And I was like, yep, probably right. I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
I don't know anymore. I can't see the forest of the trees. I got no idea. Yeah. We get screeners through the WGA, through our guild.
Solidarity, hashtag solidarity, stay strong, WGA. You do not have to pay for this endorsement.
I do a thing that you're not supposed to do, but I think is probably not discouraged because this is how they get people to watch the movies. I bring them home with me during the break because it's when we get all of them. And I watched the screeners with my parents and my in-laws and gave them Joker and they're asking about it. And I was trying to explain the same kind of thing as you. I was like, and not nearly as eloquently, but I was like, oh no. So there's this group called the incels that sort of glorifies this idea that men are white men are actually shit upon in our society, and that no, they have no voice, and that the only way that they can ever be heard is through action and violence, and how they shouldn't be glorifying something like that, and trying to get that across to them. And they were like, oh, like falling down. And I was like, yeah, oh shit, yeah, like falling down. Yeah. I would like to go back and watch Falling Down and see if now that movie is like, oh boy, buddy.
Right. I saw it so long ago, and I remember Michael Douglas complaining about the pictures of McDonald's burgers not living up to, or like the actual burgers they sold not living up to the burgers they got, and being 12 years old and agreeing with him and being like, yeah, you have every right to be mad. And now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Walk the streets with a gun? Good. That'll fix the burgers.
It starts because of traffic.
Yes.
there's some construction. He's like, enough of this shit. And he's like, I'll kill everyone. I'm going to get a bag of guns and walk the city. Feels like, yeah, if I went back and watched it now, I think it might be a little hard to watch in the current climate. But anyway, I was asked to explain a couple of things over break, and I don't think I do as good a job as I used to do. Correct. Also, you know what? I don't think about things as analytically as I used to when we were at our old job. Like, my I don't think about it in terms of like there actually being a terminology to it all and a glossary of terms that I need to know and like be able to use in order to explain this type of thing. So I'm using like these very basic tools to try and explain something that's very complex, and I just don't do anything justice anymore.
I've certainly waffled on my belief when I was writing for Cracked that movies matter because they're helping dictate what culture is and like what the young people who are watching movies are going to use that to inform how things should be or to recognize when things are going as they shouldn't be. That was certainly, you know, a whispered part of every movie and TV and music criticism we ever did at Cracked was like, no, we're talking about this because it's important, because it is shaping the world for a lot of people who are consuming it. As I've gotten older and was like, I don't know, is that true? And I still don't know the answer to that question. I think I kind of lean that, yes, it's true, but I also grew up on Disney movies and I'm fine. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's fucking complicated because it's fine for some people and not for others. Like, I remember growing up how much of my life was dictated by the movies that I saw and how I thought that's how you act as a teenager in those like coming of age movies. That's how you're going to act as an adult. When you go on a date, it's customary that you kiss somebody at the door after you're done. Like, that came from movies, man. That didn't just exist.
Right. And it's crucial that you say you kiss somebody. It doesn't need to be your date, but it just like at the door during a date, you kiss somebody. We get right. Or you get bad luck for 7 years
with the gun, which is another trope. and growing up, I was like, okay, these are the things that I can implement in my life. Oh, I didn't understand that this is how you do this thing. I'm going to put that in. I'm going to try that out. But I also did it with like a grain of salt growing up. And I don't know where that grain of salt came from, where it was like, what real life is different than this? And so I can try these things and I can try them sort of like calmly and quietly and see if they work out. And if they don't, then abandon it.
Right.
But there are other people who just don't, that grain of salt doesn't exist for them.
Right. I could certainly recognize things that I did because I'd seen enough movies, but I also eventually learned that those things were wrong and not reflective of real life because my mom told me, or my friend told me, or one of my sisters-in-law told me and set me straight.
Oh shit.
What?
Yeah, you're right. I'm just realizing now, you're absolutely right that it's very simple, but I didn't realize it. It's that you have somebody in your life that you trust more than movies.
Yeah.
And yes. I think there are people who don't have that.
Yeah, that sucks. I guess for those people, listen to this podcast. Oh no, that can't be right.
What is the solution? For anybody? Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Oh, let's hear it.
After the holidays, I won't say specifically when because I don't want people to inundate you. Mm-hmm. You had a birthday.
I did. Yeah, I think it's public knowledge at this point. It's on my Wikipedia page. I don't know where they got it from, but yeah, I did have a birthday.
And how was it?
It was great. I was at an elephant sanctuary in Chiang Mai, and it was like a very real moment for me because I made a bunch of friends on this thing, and I was talking to this guy. It's no reason to explain why that we all called him Tater, but I was talking to this guy Tater, and he's a bit younger than me, and he's from Australia, lives in San Francisco now, and we were just talking about life, and he was like, yeah, how old are you, by the way? And it was, I had to like genuinely think about it. Like normally I would have said the normal answer, which is at this point 34. But at the time, like I couldn't help smile and really think about it and be like, I am 34 as of today. You don't wake up thinking it's your birthday. Right. So like I didn't go about my day thinking about that. I woke up thinking like I'm in Thailand and it's time to go to the elephant park. And so just like realizing it in real time and saying it to him. And he was like, oh, happy birthday. And then he told the people that he was with that it was my birthday. And then we all like made a nice thing of it being my birthday. And
that was very nice of Tater.
Yeah, Tater's a saint.
Because I've found that when you tell people it's your birthday and you're doing something with them and they didn't know it was your birthday, they're deeply unnerved by that.
Yeah,
generally.
Yeah. They were cooler than anyone should have been at the knowledge that a 34-year-old single man was at an elephant park alone on his birthday.
My
which
my
was like, honestly, this is not a cry for help. That was like, I don't like making a big deal out of my birthday around family and friends. So this was
yeah,
like,
of course,
my favorite thing to do was to be like, hey, I'm sorry, I won't have internet or cell phone access on my birthday, everybody.
So much of my time knowing you has been me trying to punish you for not wanting to celebrate your birthday in different ways.
Right. You've been very successful.
It's been great. I mean, they couldn't have gone better. Speaking of which, your present's not fucking done.
Okay.
I talked to him before. Go ahead.
I was going
to
say, it's Christmas Eve. I'm with my family. My whole family listens to the podcast. I've told them several times that they don't need to. And that they shouldn't support us on Patreon. But they all listen anyway. And it's Christmas Eve. And my Aunt Pat, the first thing she says to me is like, what did Soren get you? And I have to be like, unclear, Aunt Pat.
At this point, it feels almost like we're like gunning for a second season of a show. And we're like, all right, well, we can stretch this out. So I contacted him, the guy who's making it. I contacted him leading up to Christmas, and I was like, okay, I asked you if this could be done by somebody's birthday. Do you think it's going to be done? He's like, yeah, it's going to be done. So your birthday rolls around, and I contact him again, and I was like, do you think it's going to be done? He goes, no, it's not finished. I got sick. It'll be finished by the time, fuck, I can't tell you this other part without revealing something, but he said it was going to be finished by January 20th or 22nd. And I was like, okay, great. Those dates roll around and I don't say anything to him, but I get a notification from him. He's like, here's like a sample of it. It's not done yet. And he gives me another picture. That's like a small, like a photo of just a portion of it. And yeah, I'm like, okay, great. When do you think it'll be done? Radio silence. So it's coming, but it's still not fucking
when
here.
When did you start this? Cause now,
okay.
Chekhov's present has been looming and like yep. People are leaving the theater because they're like, well, I really thought that gun was going to go off, but it's been days and I have other stuff to do.
I can't let Bacon see what I'm doing over here, but I'm going to go look at, okay, here we go. November 15th of 2018 is when I commissioned this.
Goodness gracious.
It's so long ago. I thought it, and I, at the time I foolishly thought, oh yeah, I'm 2 months ahead. This will be ready in time for Dan's birthday. And now two have passed and it's still not ready.
Okay. And especially like knowing my personality, whatever weird shit I was into in 2018, I have moved on to some other hobbies. I'm a fisherman and a detective.
Yeah, but think of this as like a tattoo, Dan, okay. Because this is something I knew you would like. There's no way I'm going to... Have I told you how much I've spent on it?
I do think of it like a tattoo in that it's a thing I don't have. you didn't tell me how much you spent on it. Is it substantial?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks,
that's exorbitant.
Man.
It's so much.
Did you prepay for it? Or is it paying on delivery?
It's payment on delivery. But I'm like, I have like this money sectioned off because I know that I have to pay it. And I've had it sectioned off for like a year.
Unbelievable.
It's great. Yeah.
All right. Well,
we'll both benefit from it though.
Sorry, Stevie Quicks. The mystery continues.
Yeah. I'm hoping it'll be done really soon. I think by February, because I can sense that he's also getting a little nervous that like he hasn't turned this in yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been busy because he is presidential candidate Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Am I close?
You're so close. It's not Pete.
All right.
It's Bloomberg.
Oh, fuck. Great. That's going to be, that's. I mean, you really...
It's your own magazine, Dan. I'm releasing your own... Like Oprah has O. I've gotten you your own dying magazine. Oh. It starts out dying, by the way.
No, yeah. All magazines do. I can't wait to have my first issue about one of the members of the royal family on Bump Watch. That's what magazines do, right?
Oh, God. That was another thing I had to talk to somebody recently about was the royal family. And like what Meghan had done to the family. And I was like, oh no. I have so much. There's so much. I don't know how far back to start.
That was a great thing when, I mean, not great, but like unifying thing when I was in Thailand, having lunch with a bunch of strangers from different parts of the world. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm from America. And they're like, how do you feel about this Trump fella? And this happened to be like, I was in the air when things first started happening with Iran. Like I was traveling for 20 hours and missed a full day because of a 12-hour time zone shift. So like January 3rd was just didn't exist for me. And I got to my hotel, shout out Avani Atrium Hotel in Bangkok, and used the internet for the first time. And the top thing trending on Twitter was World War III. So I closed my laptop because that's a lot. And I was sleepy. And so I was talking to these people and I was like, yeah, it's not great. I hope we don't go to war with Iran. And we're very sorry and sad about our president. Where are you from? And they're like, France. We're like, oh, good. How do you feel about Brexit? And they're like, it's really bad. We think it's a waste of time. We don't know who it's for. And meanwhile, everyone and all the transit workers in France are on strike right now separately. And I was like, great, let's go around the chain. Where are you from? Australia? Yeah. How do you feel about the wildfires? Very sad. Very unhappy. Where I was like, all right. But Thailand is nice. So we're all sad but like
around the horn, we're all sad.
We agree that no one has it figured out. Oh. Good. All right. Oh, wait. One other strange thing about Thailand that I wanted to run by you is that on this hike on, or not even run by you. So on this hike on Monk Trail, and I was going.
You won't shut up about Monk Trail.
I know. It was really great. And I was going down because I'd visited the one at the very top, which is Wat Doi Sutep, which is at the top of Chiang Mai. It's one of the, there are two mountains that are the twin mountains in Chiang Mai where you could see all the city. I went there and was going back down to Wat Salat, which is like a temple that's like right in the woods on a waterfall. It's very peaceful. And as I'm hiking down, this middle-aged woman comes up to me and immediately starts speaking Italian to me.
Whoa.
Which is fine. And I know enough Italian to explain to her that, because she's asking where the temple is, and I can explain to her that it's about 45 minutes up and that it's very steep and it's all uphill because like the second half of this hike to Wat Doi Sutep is completely exposed and it's just up. It's just up on dry land and the breathing is heavy because you're going up in altitude. And so I'm just like, 45 minutes that way, but it's like very difficult and it's very hot and it's very steep. And I'm saying enough that it's clear that I can communicate a little bit in Italian, but also very clear that I'm not great at it.
Yeah.
I'm communicating that this is not my language. And she is still trying to speak to me. She's not trying. She never tries Thai and never tries English. And I'm going back and forth between Italian and English of like, I don't know. Non conosco, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, butchered conjugation I'm doing of I'm sorry, I don't understand, I can't do it. And she is still speaking Italian to me. And then two of her friends come up and they're speaking Italian to me. And I'm saying in English and Italian, I don't know, I don't understand, I'm sorry, it's 45 minutes that way. And then they just speak louder Italian at me.
That's the answer.
It felt very much like, oh, this must be what like anyone's experience in America is if they're not from here. It's just like someone speaking louder English at you and like, oh, she doesn't understand you? Okay. Well, maybe my buddy shouting at you will help. Because which is like an experience that is very foreign to me as someone who grew up in America, that now these people are just like yelling louder language at me. And at one point, like definitely pointing at my face and how sweaty and red it was and being like, look at him. We can't do this hike. Look at him. Look at him. And it was very funny to me. And also, like, they got very frustrated that I didn't know enough Italian.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to break and be like, listen, lady, you found me in the middle of the woods in Thailand. It's insane that I know any Italian. You are not owed any Italian right now. This is a miracle. Please say I did a good job.
I'm sure that when they were talking to you and they realized that you didn't speak Italian very well and that your conjugation was terrible, that they started using smaller words, but you would have no way of knowing that.
No,
because you're still
not.
Because your level of understanding is so much lower. Like that's what I think the instinct is like, I'm going to speak clearer and louder and I'm going to use more simple words. I might even need like, for some reason, like the instinct is to try to talk to them as you would as somebody who only spoke the language brokenly would talk to you. You're like, time, what is it? Get
right.
Mountain up there? Like right, not even full sentences.
If they had tried to very calmly just say, what is the altitude? In Italian, I couldn't do it because it was like, oh, we didn't, there was no cause for me to learn the word altitude in high school Italian. Didn't seem to come up.
Yeah, you'd also just figure out how to translate feet to meters. Like, it'd be a whole thing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you had that experience finally, Dan. You got to sit on the other side.
Yeah, it was nice.
Not so high up on your, and helpful, but your American mountain now.
Yeah.
Tower, not mountain.
But we do have to wrap up. I need to track down all the social accounts, but before I do that, I wanted to use this space to mention something Soren did recently. I know we use this time to, it's no secret, to give each other a hard time and like set us up for failure, but Soren very quietly did something the other day that he's too humble to bring up, and I feel like it needs to be said. 17-year-old Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg has been fighting tirelessly, urging global leaders to do more to save this planet so we have something to leave to our children and our children's children. For her efforts, she's received mockery from some high-profile people, including the president, and even death threats. What's getting less credit is that she's also received a check from Soren Bowie for $10,000, something he chose not to make a big deal out of. I bring this up because in the memo section of that check, you wrote, maybe you can use this to buy a friend. Would you care to speak to that?
I mean, obviously not. I do these things not for the fame or the glory that comes along with it, but to help society. And my thinking is that with society, you can't think so globally. You need to think about individual people. And here I saw someone on television and I thought, I could help her. I could help her. I mean, she's clear. She's upset. She's upset about, I mean, she says, the world and like, oh, the fish getting caught in six-pack rings or whatever.
That is what she says. Yep.
But you can just tell it's loneliness. And so I was like, I can solve that problem. That's a problem that you can throw money at. And I sent her, it was a novelty check. You didn't bring that up. That's fine. Big, big novelty check. And I thought, this is a good amount to really get started on having friends. If this would allow you to get a new wardrobe, a PS4, and a big enough TV that you could have friends over to play like Mario Party. No, wait, that's going to be on a Switch. This is a big enough TV that you could have friends over and you could like, I don't know, you could gang beasts. You play gang beasts together, really get to know one another. And who knows, maybe with all that money spent, two people think she's a good person and like her. And then she's got buddies and we don't have to hear about oil slicks and the apocalypse coming soon anymore.
Great. Sounds good. You can follow up with Soren on this topic on Twitter at Soren_LTD, or you could talk to me at DOB_INC or our main buddy in charge, Make Me Bacon, Please. That's Make Me Bacon, Please, spelled PLS, all one word. You can email us at qqwithsorenanddaniel.com. Find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_sorenanddan or Instagram at qq_with_soren_and_daniel. We also have a Patreon that I would love Bacon to plug right now.
It's a Patreon / quick question. Some kind of slash. I don't fuck it.
No, that was great. That was really good.
Nailed it.
Oh, if you are in the New York or tri-state area, I will be the special guest on the Daily Zeitgeist live podcast performance at the Bell House in Brooklyn on February 12th. You can find tickets probably by Googling things like Bell House Brooklyn Daily Zeitgeist February 12th and come see me talk live in front of people with Jack O'Brien and Miles Gray, and who knows, other special guests perhaps.
Also, if you are listening to this podcast and you're thinking, oh, finally another episode, it's probably because I harassed them so much over Twitter to tell them to do another episode after they didn't for so long. If you ever find yourself thinking these guys haven't done an episode in a while, I want you to, you could write that on a piece of paper, fold it up, and then just keep it in your pocket forever. Because we fucking know. We know we haven't done episodes. We're trying to. Things come up. And we'll get them out as frequently as we can. But you're like, the level of entitlement when someone says, "Where's your stop tweeting and give us another fucking episode?" It's like, all right, all right. I'm never doing another one. How do you feel about that?
Wow.
I'm in control.
I'm loving this 2020 heel turn for Soren. That like now I'm the chill one and he's the one who hates this. That's very fun. I'm excited.
We'll see how it goes. All right. I'll talk to you later, Dan.
Bye, Dan. All right. Bye.